All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the We're not worthy. We're scum. We suck. If I was invited to a post game, whatever it would be, conference, anything in the presence of Daryl Sutter, if I was invited out to a party and Daryl Sutter would be, that's how I'd be acting right now.
What his name, dude? Why doesn't he have a key to the city? Why isn't he? What the shit? I just, like, every time I'm watching hockey games this season, and especially the last two hockey games in particular that the Calgary Flames played, I'm just like, I can't believe we fucked around for so long with this, with these coaches. Like, holy cow! Like, what a delight it is to watch hockey again, man.
Well, and that was our biggest thing back then. And I guess it still is the question. Now that we have a good coach, it's different, but is it that hard to find a good coach? And listen, this is with Daryl Sutter with this team right now is an absolute grand slam through 20 games. Okay. But when we were stuck in the dog days with Gullison, followed by, I mean, the first year with Ward was excellent.
First year with Peters was, yeah.
But then the second year, Peters was like, what? This guy is actually an amateur, it turns out. And he had no response in the playoffs. He got fucking bitch slapped in the playoffs.
Sure did.
And then you just degrade yourself down to fucking Jeff Ward. And we're sitting here for fans for, what, 3.5 out of 4.5 seasons? Just being like, why? Painfully looking at how bad the coaching is on a night-to-night basis. You as a fan sitting at home could make better decisions. That's what it felt like. And we were asking, is it really that fucking hard to find a good head coach?
All you got to do is, like, what? take the QE2 out. Where's he live? Where's the Sutter farm? It's blanking him. I want to say Vulcan, but that's not true. Wherever the shit up north it is, just take the hour and a half drive, head up there.
There's you know coach. What? Like, if we follow his thread of just pressers and, you know, the message behind the meeting and all that shit, his main driving kind of message that I can pick up for the team is play hockey the right way every single night. That is the end goal for Daryl Sutter, because when he looks at winning, when he looks at playoffs success, that's how he's reverse engineered it. And because you keep hearing him say it in the post games, it's a process for a lot of these guys to learn how to play hockey the right way.
They said it again after the game against the Islanders.
Every time we have a pretty damn good win. I mean, you look at the last two games. On our last podcast, we're looking at the rest of the road trip. You know, we had Philly, then Buffalo, and then you had the Islanders back-to-back with Boston. You say, fuck, man, that's a tough end of the road trip. You got the New York Islanders, their home opener, like, in a brand-new building. Like, they're going to be jacked. Then you got Boston, one of the best teams in the league in the last, what, forever?
25,000 years.
At home. Yet, you come in there and you play two incredible games of hockey. Just incredible games of hockey. Are those the two best games we've seen this season?
Those are what we would call big boy wins. That's big boy hockey right there.
That's big boy. I was curious. When was the last time we've seen big boy hockey? Big boy wins.
Back-to-back consecutively in a matter of 48 hours.
Maybe under Jeff or not, I keep on Jeff, maybe under Bill Peters but even under Bill Peters, man, it was just a comeback kids. We just had the sweet, sweet magic.
Yeah, it wasn't score.
It wasn't your structure that was, I guess in a sense it was, because we were just basing everything off the rush. So in a sense, structure was helping win games, but we were trailing all the fucking time. And what, you know what I mean? It's different. The only recollection I have of this, I mean, I tweeted this because, like, if you break this down, here's what it looks like on a night-to-night consistent basis right now. The Calgary Flames give up virtually nothing 5-on-5. I mean, yeah, the other team gets chances, but they don't give up much. The PK is world-class. I got to tell you, I don't know if we're ranked number one in the league, but we must be the current best penalty kill in the league.
It's definitely the most effective. Like, oh, and I mean, two short. Did they count the Backlund thing shorthanded tonight? I don't remember. But now we're scoring on our penalty kills.
Right. Whew. Those two things with world-class goaltending, I mean, both goaltenders have been incredible. And then in the offensive zone, they just grind it out. Like, this team is grinding. Even our star players are starting to grind. Johnny Gaudreau,
man,
leveled some guy today. How many times has he leveled somebody in his career? A handful of times?
Well, there's a chance tonight Gaudreau doesn't score on it, but they showed a good reverse angle of it that I think just, like, encapsulate what you're talking about. It was like the puck's dumped into the Bruins end, and you see it was like an end board shot. Matthew Tkachuk is bearing down on the D-man, bearing down. And gets right on the forecheck. Who's right behind him, bearing down? It's Johnny Gaudreau. Tkachuk creates turnover. Johnny almost scores. Like, it's just like, that's against the Boston Bruins.
Ooh. I think it was after the Buffalo game that Daryl says the top line is just as good as any in hockey right now, the way they're producing. And he's right. But to sum all this up, you take all those points, world-class goaltending, allowing virtually nothing at 5-on-5, world-class penalty killing, and then the offensive zone, you're just grinding out teams. Like, and it's consistent. It's relentless. And they're just generating chances. And, I mean, we're starting to see waves. I mean, there's not a shitload of skill in the top six, but, man, flipping Backlund and Monahan is starting to pay some serious dividends. Hey. Now, the back line isn't, well, I guess Mangiapane scored two more goals again. outside of Mangiapane, the back line isn't really contributing too much offensively five on five, but I don't know this. I'm sure maybe you've looked, but you would like to think that defensively they're probably allowing a zilch.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I mean, I think that's still true of the top line, too. Kedrow and Tkachuk still, we keep saying this. Still haven't been on the ice for five on five goals against those two guys. What the shit is that? They still have not been on the ice five on five.
By the way,
they might have. That might actually not be true. They might have been on the ice for that Brock Nelson goal, the Lindholm giveaway. But that was that a power play?
Yeah.
Even so, let's say they're on the ice for 1 5 on five goals against your top line. Like, this is turning into a line that the Flames have long wanted. Jeff Ward tried to do it with no strategy behind it, but a top line they can go toe to toe with every other line in the league.
Yep. 100%.
That's what they have right now.
Maybe you're talking about the second Nelson goal.
Yeah, that one that looked like it didn't go in.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
But I mean, you take all that defense, PK. I mean, does this not remind you of 04? The way that this team is playing right now reminds me of 04. It really does.
Oh, 100%. And it reminds me of when, like, it's just Daryl Sutter hockey, right? Like, man, and it's just, it's not even that it's, like, fun to watch. Winning is fun. But it's just nice to have consistent, structured hockey on a night-to-night basis.
Well, you're starting to know what to expect.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing in the past 3.5 seasons. It's just like, who's going to show up tonight? Dr. Jekyll? Mr. Hyde? Or their weird and wacky offspring with fucking three eyeballs. That thing.
Yeah, it's been great. Again, like he said, even after the Islanders win, because again, they like the Island, that's a game they lose 10 times out of 10 last 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons. But they managed to hang in there. And like Daryl was talking about, it's a process for a lot of these guys to learn to play these big, tough, hard games. And the Flames played a big, tough, hard team against the Islanders last night and again against the Bruins. And they beat them both.
They bent in
ridiculously convincing fashion tonight against the Bruins.
Well, you hear that saying, they bend, but they didn't break against the Islanders. They didn't even fucking, like, their bend was like, it was like those doll, you know, those little clown things you punch and they come right back up. Like, that's what they were against the Islanders.
Yeah. And, you know, Markstrom has a really good game against the Islanders and probably, you know, like first period, he was fantastic. But again, did that game ever feel in doubt? It was always within control.
No, you go up early. It was a Brad Richardson, right?
Yeah.
Brad Richardson's, fuck, that was a beautiful goal. A terrible turnover. But,
well, again, like how the forecheck, dude, like that's the thing that's just impressing me the most, is just pressure on pucks in all three zones. It's like checking every time there's a puck, the Flames are on it. It's ridiculously amazing.
Well, and here's the thing, games 10 through 12, you're just the results you're getting are basically due to buy-in, right? Games 13 to 25 now are going to be getting better at what you've bought in too. And that's what we're starting to see. That's why you can start to, like we said, it's not, you're not wondering who's going to show up and play. You're starting to expect a certain style of play every night. And outside of Montreal, these guys haven't taken a night off. Not one. And I mean, look, 7-game road trip. You're playing, what was that, 7 games in 11 nights? Like, fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
To finish off what was already a pretty okay road trip, you just made it a great road trip.
Against two of the best teams in the league. You know, like the Islanders, like they've been to the Eastern Conference Final and gone toe-to-toe with Tampa Bay the last two seasons, and Boston, who is perennially amazing. So, man, I am left the last two games super impressed.
Super impressed, gaining confidence by the day. You look at all the stats, the metrics across the board. I mean, it's a yo-yo with Edmonton for first place in the division, but currently after tonight, we'd sit atop of the division again. 11-3-5 now. Oh, man, just I think this team is for real, man. And as long as they can, like, the buy-in is incredible, right? And sometimes when you go through bad coaching, like you did with Jeff Ward, and we've mentioned this a few times on this podcast, when those guys are playing for Ward, they're smart enough to know that their coach is a doofus. They'll never, ever say it publicly. They might not even talk about it much privately, but they all know. And so when Daryl Sutter comes along, remember how jacked everybody was? Everybody was like so excited for those first three practices. You know, the interviews after the practices, they were like, holy shit, yeah, wow. What's been the biggest difference? Oh, it's just the pace. It's just, it's so quick. The practices are so quick. So sometimes when you go through, you know, a bout of bad coaching, it can be a blessing if a good coach comes in because their team can buy in right away. And kudos to these players for buying in, because sometimes they don't. And typically when a guy like Daryl Sutter is at the end of his coaching rope with a specific team, it's because they start to lose buy-in, right? And eventually that will probably happen to this team, but that's not where they're at right now. And as long as they're seeing the results and they can refine their game, whatever they're buying into now, they're just going to get better at it. So I think this team is for real. Like you've said it a number of times, the issue is going to be, can they score enough? And we've been saying, what Daryl's been saying is, okay, the biggest way to combat that big question is the special teams, and they have been winning the special teams battles.
Well, yeah, you win the Islanders game because of the special teams, right? Like the Islanders play the Islanders, who are probably the closest team, I think, in terms of comparable to how the Flames play and personnel. Not a ton of skill, but you got your high-end guys like Barzal, Gaudreau.
Barzal's good.
Yeah, rely on a pretty big decor, and you have a lot of big boys in the bottom six grinding it out, and obviously Barry Trotz. So the Islanders kind of bested the Flames at their own game at 5-on-5, but Markstrom was great, and you scored two power play goals, and you only let one power play goal is. So like, man, like that's, but in the span of 48 hours, you played a near perfect 5-on-5 game against the Bruins, and your goaltender and special teams won you a game against one of the best 5-on-5 teams in the league in the Islanders. So can't ask for much more than that.
Okay. Let's break down the Islanders here. Game report, Islanders out shooting 36-31. Man, I thought the reffing was just atrocious.
It was like absurd.
The reffing during this road trip,
the whole thing. Like three or four games has been noticeably horrendous.
I think Buffalo was okay.
The Philly game was weird. The Montreal game, obviously.
But they were literally calling everything in on the island and then nothing in the third.
That was weird.
But Calgary goes 2-for-4 on the power play. Islanders go 1-for-6.
There you go.
Shot attempts, 34 Calgary, 38 Islanders. Scoring chances, 19 Calgary, 25 Islanders. High danger, 12 for the Islanders.
Whew, yeah, Jacob Markstrom had a hell of a first period.
To 5 for the Flames. And the Islanders carry the expected goals percentage, 60 to Calgary's 40. Like you said, if you look at the underlying numbers for this game, yes, the Islanders were better for the majority, 5-on-5, but it didn't feel like the ice was slanted all night.
No.
Calgary goes up early, and I thought they did actually a good job protecting the league lead.
Yeah, they kind of shut it down pretty good. Like I said, Markstrom was phenomenal all game, but I mean, in the first period, I thought I was watching the highlights, and it's like 5 minutes in, and he's made like 6-10 bell saves, and it's like, it's not even done the first period yet. It was a lot of good saves. So, but again, like I thought they shut it down, you know, pretty good for the most part for playing the Islanders in a rocking crowd. It was never in doubt, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is like, we're starting to see this enough times now that when we go up 1-0, I'm not shitting my pants anymore. When we go up 2-0, I'm like, we're probably going to win this, but who knows? When we go up 3-0, I'm like, fuck, this one's pretty much done.
Well, I think Kachuk summed it up pretty good in his I think it was his second period interview tonight during the intermission, second intermission. And Leslie's like, well, what do you got to do? And he's like,
yes, let's
treat this like we have to get the next goal and we have to frustrate them. And that's what they did.
So my question to you is, yes, because that was brilliant. When Chucky gets interviewed, you see that, you're like, holy fuck, man, these guys are going to come ready for the third.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be like what we've seen the past two, three seasons. And my question is, where does that come from?
What's you know changed? Where it comes from.
Exactly. We all know where it comes from. Because we haven't heard them say that. Chucky hasn't said anything like that since he's been here. When you're up 2-0 on the road, closing out a road trip, and Leslie asks you what you need to do in the third, he says, well, we got to act like it's the next goal wins, or we need the next goal. Like, that's what we're focused on. You know where that comes from.
you know. It's like you're not getting any bullshit. Like, it's just goals. It's simple things like Dale's talking about. You know, setting micro goals during a game, and did it pay off?
It makes the mix. Look how the level of focus on these guys, man. Right? Like, it's almost arousing.
Almost. Almost.
So Manji Puni scores two goals against the Islanders.
Oh man!
And like, I don't know if I'm keeping everybody updated on this because it's happening so fast. But Brett Chesley, the Winnipeg Jets fan, who apparently thinks Manji Puni is just a bottom six forward who's overrated and just a fan favorite in Calgary, and that's pretty much what he amounts him to. What was it? It was when he came out of the terror. Him and Lindholm both had 7 goals.
Yeah.
And so we were trolling him a bit. And he said, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, just wait in 2 weeks. He'll fall down in the rankings. He said, call me when he has 20 goals. Two weeks later, he's got 15.
And is like, second in the league.
People were like, oh, fuck, he's going to have 20 goals by the Olympic break. Yeah. And now people are like, he's going to have 20 goals by Christmas.
Dude, he's going to have 20 goals by next. Like, dude is on a tear right now.
An absolute tear.
Second in the league in goals right now. Only behind Leon Draisaitl.
Keeping pace with Alexander Ovechkin. That's how good Manji Puni is.
And again, if you're on the Team Canada watch, yeah, he's second in the league in goals. He's leading every Canadian-born player in goal scoring, so...
If he continues at this pace, he will be on the team.
100%. Like, he is now gone from long shot to, like, he has a chance to make Team Canada.
If he continues at this pace, he will definitely be on the team. Even if he continues at 80% of this pace.
Totally.
He would probably make the team. And his, you know, the biggest thing in his favor is how he played on the world stage, 6 months ago? But my question to you, because this came up on Twitter, and somebody's like, yeah, watch him get offer sheeted. And I want to talk about this because repeatedly, this has been a discussion point, something you've been pushing on, really concerning, is that how does Brad Tree Living tie up Kachuk, Gaudreau, and Manji Puni, basically your top three players in the offseason? And at this rate, Manji Puni, I don't know. Like, how is he going to do it? And how worried should we be that a guy like Manji Puni gets offer sheeted?
Well, I think you'd be more worried if there wasn't if offer sheets were a more common occurrence in the NHL, because usually they're pretty they never happen. Like, they never happen because GMs are bitches. But like, if you're a GM and you're looking at the Calgary Flames, like, how more perfect a situation could present itself to offer sheet a player? Flames are going to be in big-time cap trouble. Like, at this rate, Johnny Gaudreau is going to get, 90 points, 100 points? He's getting over a point a game. So I think any illusions of, like, oh, yeah, Johnny will kind of be in their 7, 7.5, 8 range, I think that's dwindling every single game. When you have to sign Gaudreau and Kachuk, could be the perfect situation for an offer sheet. And if he keeps it up, I don't see how somebody doesn't take the chance. It's not even a chance. Let's say you offer sheet him $8 million you probably get him because how are the Flames going to afford to do that?
Why wouldn't Ken Holland do it?
Totally.
I mean, it's a feud now between the Hurricanes and the Habs. Yeah. There's already a feud between the Oilers and the Flames. Why wouldn't he do it?
If you're a team who wants a goal scorer, who's like, what, 25? It's one of the best situations. It's a perfect situation to ask for an offer sheet. Team in cap trouble with other players that have to sign big money deals. I'd be all over that if I'm an opposing GM.
Okay.
Well, he's probably not going to score, but I keep saying that. I'm like, well, he's going to cool down, right?
Dude, come on.
He's not fucking cooling down.
This guy is the talk of the league right now.
And, you know,
they're talking. Mangiapane is getting just as much airtime as Connor McDavid is currently. I'm not even kidding.
So, like, what would you project? Like, let's say he scores 35, 40 goals this season. What is he going to get? He's getting more than Sean Monahan.
He's getting what?
He's getting 7+.
He's getting at least 6.2, at least.
Like, I don't know, man. I don't know how that's going to work.
Man, Lucic's contract could not expire soon enough. Eh? Got one more year after this, right?
It is killing you.
Monahan's
is killing you too right now.
Well, at this point, you move Monahan no matter what.
Yeah, even if you didn't have your contract.
But then he only has a 5-team.
I think he's got a 10-team no trade clause.
Okay, well, 10 is a lot better than 5.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So you move heaven and earth. In my opinion, you move heaven and earth to make sure that those three guys are here next year. Because
Brad, you offer your wife up, Brad.
Dude, you offer every share of Boston Pizza you have. Because, like, right now, Gaudreau and Mangiapane are two of the top 10 players in the league. And it's like, it's not like, yeah, they're kind of two of the top 10 players in the league. They're kind of like in the mix. They are two of the top 10 players in the league right now. And I don't think that's even debatable. And I mean, Kachuk has been very good and will be very good all season. So you have, like, these three guys are, combined with Jacob Markstrom, have been driving this team. So, like, you have to figure out a way to get them locked up for next year. You have to.
And as much as people argue, and I understand the arguments, that Lucic and Monahan still have value to this team.
Sure they do.
Sure, but you can't afford them for the value they bring.
You can't afford that value at $11 million.
You are way overpaying for the value that they bring. And I'm not saying that they don't bring any value at all. They do. And watch, if we make the playoffs, it's going to be depth guys like Monahan that fucking, start lighting it up. Watch him go on a tear for 3 weeks in the playoffs on the third line and just help you, get past each round. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, yeah. But I'm just saying this, he's the type of player that would be the case, right? You can see it happening because you've seen it happen a million times.
Well, I even think back to the Daryl Sutter years where it's like Mike Richards was a very different player than Sean Monahan, obviously, but lowering the depth chart was absolutely essential to those Kings runs. So I don't know. It's like, honestly, it's kind of a buzzkill, you know. Gaudreau is playing amazing, Mangiapane scoring every night, and then it's just like it's on the front of everybody. It's front of mind for everybody. It's like, fuck, how are we gonna afford this if these guys don't cool off?
It is a bit of a buzzkill. I mean, that was the situation previous seasons with the coaching, right? So you're trying to get excited for last season, but Jeff Ward's still your coach, so pretty much a major buzzkill. And it is. It's just like Brad Treliving has just kind of fumbled his way through the last three seasons. That it, I don't know what the like. If he would have, pulled something out like a Jack Eichel deal, then I would have more faith that he could pull something off like this. But how the fuck's he gonna do it?
I've never seen him make, like, the dude couldn't even figure out how to get rid of Frolik so he could sign Kachuk long term. You know, like he has yet to pull. Swindle anything. Like, sure, some good moves have been made, but we have yet to see a move that's like, wow, Brad Treliving had a plan, executed it quite well. It's like all of his good moves he's kind of just like stumbled into. I I don't have a lot of faith he's going to be able to pull this off in the way he needs to. He needs to hit a home run, and it's like we've seen him maybe hit a couple singles in his career. So,
well, how do you do it? Scaring me. How do you do it in the off season? Because that's probably when he's going to have to do it. Wouldn't it be easier if you were struggling to try and find a suitor looking for some depth that might be able to afford Monahan down the stretch?
Yeah,
if you have to. If you weren't in the playoff picture, but this team's going to be. So they're not going to be getting rid of him because, I don't know. Anyways, we're trying not to kill the buzz. We're trying not to kill the buzz too hard.
Well, it is on everyone's mind, right? Like,
thanks, Brad.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks a lot. So Trevor Lewis, your buddy, scores his first of the season in this Isles game. Empty netter. Johnny Gaudreau, empty netter. After the game, Daryl says he's talking about the centerman playing down low and being physical down low. And I think he says whatever one goal. I think this is the Islanders game he was saying this.
Yeah, this was. The one guy wasn't low.
Yeah, that was causing the goal. One guy wasn't like – and then he says, quote, "It's a process for our team to learn how to play in really hard physical games." Don't you love hearing that after you fucking win in a really hard physical game?
I sure do. Instead of hearing about how great everything is and like, man, what a difference. And like he was talking again last night, like it's like the Islanders are like we said off the top of this big boy teams. Like that is a big, is there a bigger big boy team than the Islanders who have been to the Eastern Conference Finals the last two of the last 3 years? You know, like that is such a huge win.
Well, it's like he's been saying both Islanders and the Bruins. These are teams that they've been playing the right way, the right style of hockey for how many consecutive seasons now? Like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and you look at that goal, just speaking of Monahan, I'm just watching it right now. Like, dude is, like, way out of position. And, I mean, Zadorov and Gabranson, a terrible soft play by Zadorov. But, yeah, Monahan's up by the blue line when the puck's in the slot. So
Zadorov is out. Valimaki's in for tonight's game against Boston. Valimaki looked good in the first half of the first period, but he, in my opinion, really struggled after that.
Yeah. I mean, he took that bad penalty. He wasn't like noticeably terrible.
Well, he had one bad turnover for sure.
Yeah, but he, I don't know. Do you attribute that to him being out so long? He wasn't good, right? Like, I didn't think he was particularly good. But what did he play? 11 minutes, 5-on-5, which I thought it was actually more than he was going to get. He was okay. I don't know if he, again, he's been off for 10 games. Does he earn a spot in the next game? I don't know.
Well, and how fucking low is your confidence, right?
Yeah, it's like in the shitter right now.
So, you know, we've said this many times. One of Darnell's strengths is working with players. I mean, him and Kirk Muller, they got to fucking get Yusuf Valimaki going. At what point do you see him try Michael Stone over those two?
Yeah, I'm curious. The only reason I think is because he loves righty-lefty, so he would have to take Gabranson out.
Gabranson's not coming out, dude.
And Gabranson... Okay, holy shit, I forgot to mention this. I feel like a friggin' moron. In the last episode, I'm talking about how old the guy is. I'm like, man, he's sure playing good for a guy who's 36. Man, good on him. Good. And then, like, you text me later, you're like, yo, what are you talking about? Gabranson's 29. He's 29! What? He's a year older than Johnny Gaudreau?
Dude, he's a spring chicken, bro.
What the shit? Have you seen that guy? He looks like he could be my dad. Like, he's got gray in his beard. What is that? Anyways, my bad. I felt like a friggin' moron. Sorry, Eric. And Louise, I cannot believe that he's not 30 yet. And I also then found out that, did you know he was drafted 3rd overall in 2010?
Shut up.
Yeah. So Taylor Hall goes first, Tyler Seguin goes second, and Gabranson goes third.
Where?
To Florida.
Fuck off.
Had no clue. Like, I must have confused him with somebody else, or just because he's been around the league so long. Like, I literally thought he was like 35, 36. So sorry, Gabranson, and sorry for being a moron to everybody listening. Jeez.
You do have the team's best current mustache, though.
Yeah, like, by far. And he's, like, yeah, he looks like a cop. Like, the cop you would not fuck with. So, but yeah, I don't think your Branson's coming out.
Where is Dubé's mustache? His mustache is like his play. It's MIA.
Yeah, it's lacking. It's lacking quite extensively. Yeah, I think Tyler Pitlick's easily been the best player on that line.
Yo, Pitlick's been great the last 2-3 games. This guy's working his balls off.
Yeah, I really like Pitlick. I like him a lot.
Him and Richardson. Fuck.
Yeah, shit. Like, I mean, just
giving her, dude. Like, watch Richardson in his own end, how hard he works down low. It's unbelievable. And I mean, hey, I'm not saying it translates into, you know, plays all the time, but the guy just fucking giving her.
Yeah. And you said this, I think, in like, we were talking preseason about like, hey, what is Lewis? What do guys like Lewis and Richardson give you? And you were like, well, what they do is give Daryl, every time he puts him on the ice, he knows what he's getting.
Yep. Well, that's the thing is like when you go through the refinement process that is the Daryl Sutter style of coaching and you come out the other end, Daryl knows who you are now because you become an honest player. This is what he's talking about when he's talking about being honest in the game. Don't cheat the game. Play it the right way. When you start to do that all the time, it's just like life, right? It's just like being in a relationship. You just start to trust that person. You know exactly what they're going to do for you. You put them out there. And I could see how when you're on a 7-game road trip and you're on your last 2 games and it's like you're playing it every other night, some back-to-back nights, you're playing 7 games in 11 nights. Or whatever, yes, I think it was something ridiculous like that. How you would like to just know that when you put guys out, what they're going to give you, right? When you know you have to roll lines in order to survive. And look, they're not the greatest skilled players in the league, far from it. But is Lucic not slowly starting to turn into this as well?
No, I mean, for sure.
When he's out there, it's very, you know what you're starting to get from Lucic. The guy's had like what, 30 hits this in the past 5 games? It's just a fucking wrecking ball out there. So I don't know. The fourth line identity is starting to come to form, and it's actually having an effect. There's a few, even the bottom six as a whole, right? There's a few shifts, especially on the island, I thought, where it's just like they were grinding it down low in the offensive zone, grinding their team down.
Well, and that's something that I think speaks to the bigger picture here of like Daryl's like he's not here to fuck around. Even in training camp, everybody's like, oh, where's Matt Phillips? And, you know, I was like, oh, I'll kill myself if Phillips is not on the team and Brett Ritchie is. And it's like, the goal is to win games. Like, we're not screwing around with prospect development. Like, different from player development, but it's like, he's here to win.
Dude, I have completely forgotten about Brett Ritchie.
Sorry, totally mentioned his name.
Talk about a buzzkill.
But shit, I was just looking at hits. So, Lucic has 45. This season, Trevor Lewis has 43, Blake Coleman 38, Tyler Pitlick 33. Those are some heavy, and Matthew Tkachuk also 23. There's some heavy, those are some heavy minutes being played and heavy hockey being played by some of those bottom six guys.
Johnny Gaudreau has 1.
Hey, dude, it was a beauty. He's got 3, it says.
Well, hey. I don't give a fuck. Well, you're not expecting, what was he, 5'2"? No, I know he's 5'8" or whatever, 5'10". But fuck, Johnny, how good is this guy playing? Unbelievable.
Dude, I like seriously, maybe we forget how dominant he was. I've never seen him play like in 2018, 2019, but I've never seen him play like this. I don't think it's that he's like working harder. It might be a little bit, but the dude is just. He's not a wrecking ball, but it's kind of the term I'm looking for. Like every shift, he's like he's more like Mangiapane than like
he slices and dices the
fuck yeah
the opposition, dude.
Just so dangerous on every shift. And they're pointing out a few of his strong defensive plays tonight against the Bruins, and it's totally true. Like he's definitely not gonna win the Selke. He's not gonna win the Selke in time soon, but he's just making a lot of smart plays and is just every time he's on the ice is very effective.
Hey folks, we'll get back to the show in a moment. Just a quick word from our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. The NHL season is underway. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unreal offer. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state or country yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed as everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win $100 in free bets. Either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. You gotta be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. There's a minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Absolutely. A lot of his, yeah, you see a lot of his back-checking highlights.
Yeah.
After the Buffalo game, Daryl says Johnny lit it up tonight.
But he had 10 shots on net.
That breakaway goal he scored?
Oh, that was the Philly game, but still. Yeah, holy shit, dude.
No, that was fucking Buffalo, wasn't it?
Was it? He had 10 shots? One of the games, I think he had 10 shots in Philly and then had five in Buffalo and scored a goal.
Yeah, I'm talking about the breakaway goal he scored in Buffalo.
Yeah, that was wicked. What a frozen rope feed from Kachuk, too. Holy.
Fuck, man. How many times is that combo going to connect, eh? Breakaway pass to Johnny. He did it again tonight, eh?
Yeah, you can see him. Chucky's looking for him all the time up there.
See, from the one angle tonight, what's the goaltender's name?
Boston?
Yeah.
Oh, Swayman?
Swayman. He gets a piece of that, eh? From the one angle, from the opposite side, you can tell it just literally gets a sliver of his arm, and then that was enough to make it ricochet up off the crossbar. Otherwise, that's shelf, dude. Johnny has that shot down.
He's got that shot down, and it's such a crazy shot. Like, it's not hard. It's like just pinpoint accuracy, but not even where it ends up. It's like some math shit. It's like some geometry shit. Like, the angle is just perfect.
Well, yeah, I don't even know if it's stoppable. Unless you literally lift your arm up to try and stop it, it's going over.
Because it ends up in the perfect spot, but also like when you like even the one similar he scored against Jari with Pittsburgh, it's like the angle it takes to get to the top corner is just pinpoint perfect.
And his release is so deceptive too, eh?
Oh, totally. Because like I think they mentioned it, he's got his like hands way higher up on his stick than a lot of guys, and it just flies off his stick. It's crazy. It's like a slingshot.
Yeah, it's like he kind of slices his stick. It's like hard to read. That's but remember when he went for like 0-for-30 consecutive five.
He was trying games? Five hole. Yeah. Jesus.
Just keep going shelf, Johnny.
Yeah. Never again go five hole.
Even if it's in the scouting report, dude, just for all the reasons we explained, it's still got a good shot going in. Okay, let's wrap up this Boston game. 4-0 tonight. Johnny has the first one-timer off a rebound, and then Noah Hanifin scores the same way. People were saying it looked like a set play.
Yeah, well, maybe that was the scouting report. I think it's just more of a Daryl Sutter. Like, one of the things he talks a lot about is a shot mentality, shooting all the time. So,
was that Chucky in his interview saying that Noah was like, "I'm going"? So he just knew to throw it to the net.
I think he was talking about that.
Monty Pawnee gets the cleanup and Dubé's. It's funny. Dubé goes down. 15 attempts. Dubé's just working his ass off. Like, 5 attempts on net. Monty Pawnee's just like, "Here, let me do it for you, bud."
Here's how it's done.
But if you look at that replay, the way Monty Pawnee just cleans it up, it's not like he gets to puck and then shoots it automatically. He knows he has to change the angle. He pulls the puck back and then shoots it. It's like this guy has so much confidence right now to make that type of play. Because the thing is, I mean, look, it's one thing when we go out and we play like shitty or whatnot. When you go down to an NHL game and you watch on ice level, like, there's no time. Like, these guys have no time. It looks like they have time from up top, but it doesn't look like you have time when you're on the ice. So for Mangiapane, man, like, this guy has some sort of confidence to be to be pulling off those plays and just scoring two goals a night. Is this guy Leon Draisaitl?
No. I mean, if it wasn't for that freak, he'd be in the league lead. Like, I don't know how Draisaitl has 18 and 17, but, like, it's just wild.
On pace for
and, like, dude, years. Like, I still think Mangiapane, a lot of he generates, he still, like, could work on his finishing, to be perfectly honest. Like, he generates so many chances. He could have, like, 20 goals already. It's ridiculous. Dude,
this guy is so good right now. Typically, it's Johnny Gaudreau that when he gets the puck through the neutral zone, you're just like, oh, wow. Now when Mangiapane gets the puck through the neutral zone, he's cutting, he gains the blue line. He's cutting in and he's protecting the puck and he's shifty. He's smooth. It's like, holy fuck, man, this guy is playing good. Like, he is legit good. Legit good. Yeah. It's nice to see Backlund get one. Hey.
That's about time.
Typical Backlund goal.
Was it in? I mean, honestly, it was weird. I was thinking, I was like, man, they haven't played in Boston for a while. Last time they played in Boston, if I'm not mistaken, was that game right before the shutdown where Backlund was on a tear and scored that wicked shorthanded goal.
Makes and he also made Brad Marchand his bitch.
He bitch slapped Brad bad.
Remember, that was like, that was the game before COVID hit.
It was, and like, I remember it perfectly. And
we were
well.
Starting to, like, play really good.
We were awesome starting, for like 5 or 6 games.
We were starting to get really excited, and then COVID. Anyways, Vladar quietly gets another shutout. I say quietly because, I mean, there's so much talk about how the team's playing, and it's true, but he's solid again tonight. I mean, I don't know if he made many 10 bellers. Just the team play was great tonight, but he was also solid.
7 shutouts between him and Marshall.
Unbelievable.
Like, it's unreal. Like, holy shit. You know, it's just like the three, like, it's just everything is working so well. It's just weird. It's like, and again, like, they've still lost 8 games, but.
Look,
game to game, it's just like it's so consistent.
It is. Even people who were big Sutter fans going into the season would have not predicted this playing this well this early on. Okay.
No, I don't think so. Like, I think we both, if there's 2 bigger Sutter supporters in the world, I don't know who they are outside of us. And we were even very nervous about heading into the season. Like, no Geo. That D looks really rough. You didn't add enough scoring. Is Markstrom going to be able to handle it? Was Flitter? Like, there were so many question marks. And it's been 20 games almost, and it's just been, like, so impressive.
Sportsnet stats threw this up after the game. Calgary Flames become the first NHL team since offensive forward passes were allowed. That's 2-line passes, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
In 1929 to record 7 shutouts in the first 19 games of a season.
That's insane. That's insane, dude.
That's insane. You have to be playing seriously good defensive hockey, and your goaltending has to be excellent and world class.
And what wins Stanley Cups? If you had to boil it down to two factors, like the 2 biggest factors, goaltending and strong defense.
Should we plan the parade or what?
Dude, at this point, I don't even want to parade. I'm just glad to watch good hockey. Like, shit,
no
dude.
Shit, man.
It's just enjoyable to watch the game for 60 minutes and win or lose. Be like, I'm glad I didn't waste my whole evening tonight.
Although the Montreal game was one of those games.
Yeah, it sucks.
I was so mad after that. But we mentioned this before because we saw it at 18-19. They were setting new records like every week. We're starting to see that already this season. I'm going to go out and say this team's for real, dude.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, now, I still have, I don't know, like, I'm still a little worried that the wheels are going to fall off with that D at some point. And obviously the concern of scoring is always going to be there. You need Blake Coleman to pick it the fuck up there, bud. But
get the fuck up, bud.
The top line has been incredible. The goaltending has been incredible. The team defense has been incredible.
Yeah. we could be in trouble if, knock on wood, any, you know, one of our top four D-men is out for an injury.
Yeah.
But, fuck, they look good. They look really good.
Good, smart hockey is being played right now.
Okay. Give us the game report for tonight, Boston.
Well, again, like, how, like, I'm just like, it's the Bruins, and you play that well?
You like, bitch slap like, the Bruins at
like,
home?
That is a game, like, we keep saying this, and it's being over-repetitive, but these are games that you would, without a doubt, last game of a road trip on back-to-back nights. Is there any way in hell this team wins this game 4-0 in decisive fashion last year? No chance. So tonight was a Daryl Sutter special. I think tonight, even though the, you know, like it wasn't the most dominant performance, tonight I think was a perfect Daryl Sutter game. You win 4-0. Shot attempts 44 Flames, 45 Bruins. Scoring chances 21 Flames, 15 Bruins. High danger chances 5 apiece at 5-on-5. Flames edge the Bruins in expected goal share at 53% to Boston's 47. Top game scorers, Matthew Tkachuk, Noah Hanifin, Elias Lindholm, Johnny Gaudreau, Rasmus Anderson. Just, it was a mistake-free hockey game for the most part.
And I haven't heard post-game Sutter yet, but I can rest assured that, can rest assured that your head coach is not even impressed. Okay? Why? Because the bar is the Stanley Cup. That's the bar. So unless you actually challenge for that, he's not going to be impressed. That's the only regular season will not impress Daryl Sutter. That's like after the game, Rick Ball and whoever the color guy was, they're, you know, kind of joking around. It's okay, Daryl, you can smile. No, he doesn't give a fuck. They haven't won anything. I mean, you've heard him talk about it. Unless you win the playoffs, you haven't won anything. That's why Sidney Crosby is still the best player in the world, Connor.
How many playoff games have we won in the last 10 years? Like 5?
Connie McDaisy. I just saw this. I don't know if I just saw this, I think, yesterday. Connie? It's a pretty good name, eh?
For Connie? Connor. I'd like it more if it wasn't just like a Conroy reference.
True. Okay, let's go to the other two games that we haven't covered yet. You know, our schedule was
kind of screwed up.
We could have snuck a Buffalo and Philly recap in there, but you kind of wanted to wait and see how the rest of the road trip went, because you kind of saw everything so far with the Canadian swing through Montreal, Toronto, and Ottawa. I saw a little bit of everything. And then after Philly and Buffalo, you kind of see more of everything. You kind of are curious to see, well, how's the road trip going to end? But look at the road trip as a whole. So what'd they go? They went
4-2-1.
4-2-1, man. And that is a tough ass road trip. I would take that.
I'll take that every day, like all season long.
All season long. So they play in Philly. You got the game report for Philly?
Yeah, again, this is the games like the ones we see in Philly are the ones that's how the Flames are gonna lose, right? Like Johnny had what, 10 shots?
Well, and they were still a good game.
It was great. Like the first period, I thought that was one of the best first periods the Flames has played like all season. They were all over it, but you just can't make it happen. So the game ends. The Flames have 38 shot attempts to Philly's 48. The Flames have 22 scoring chances to Philly's 20. High danger chances, the Flames have 9 to Philly's 8. And the expected goal share slightly goes to the Flames. Or it's like almost 50-50, actually. Well,
yeah, it was a good game. It was.
It was a good game to watch, and it's like, goddamn, those overtime games that we can't seem to win anymore. But, yo, I keep telling this to people, there's no 3-on-3 in playoffs. So who gives a shit?
Good point. Yeah. Bring more 5-on-5.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see a bit of it, because it's been on this road trip that Shillington is now getting PP2 time.
Oh, man.
it's been on this road trip that now Shillington's getting some OT time. If he continues to perform the way he is offensively, I don't understand how. Is it just a matter of time till he's PP1?
Like, why I put him on PP1. Like, we both don't really like Rasmus up there.
And then make him your main guy for OT. Yeah. Imagine Lindholm, Johnny, and Shillington. Like, any mistake that Shillington might make, he's going to get back in position with his speed.
Well, how many times in overtime do you have to see Rasmus Anderson, like, fuck up and not be able to get back?
Well, and look, he's a hell of a lot faster than he was last season.
Well, he's awesome this season.
But he's not fast enough for three-on-three, yeah. Man. No. With the speed he's competing with, like, if he jumps up on the plate, he's not getting back in time. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, he would be my third guy to go to. Like, I don't even know if I'd play him in overtime. Put Tanev out there. Put in, like, man, no. No more Rasmus on 4-on-4 or 3-on-3. No. Seen enough.
I mean, the OT loss against Philly, it's a, you know, it's the same goal Hanifin scored, right? But I don't even mind that loss, dude. Like,
yeah, I don't mind that loss. Johnny was fantastic. You just couldn't find a way to bury one.
And it helps when the next game you come out and you absolutely smash Buffalo.
Yeah, totally. Like, if that game you come out and then, like, can't score again the next game, but the next game you come out and absolutely destroy the Sabres, then you're feeling a lot better about picking up that point.
Game report against Buffalo, 33 shots at Buffalo's 27. Again, you win the special teams 1-for-2. They're 0-for-2. What is, I guess, Islanders scored a power play goal. How many power play goals did they allow on this road trip?
Maybe two?
And they have that, what, 20 attempts? The officiating was terrible.
I guess they allowed what? Did they allow one against Montreal in that shithole game?
I can't even remember, so long ago.
But, man, watching the penalty kill is enjoyable.
Literally, it's actually enjoyable. It's weird, eh? It's like, we got a penalty. I can't wait to watch this penalty
kill. It's either Markstrom's amazing or the Flames are just on it. So the Flames currently in raw percentage, fifth in the league. 87.5% clip, they're killing penalties. Nuts.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Can you check PP too while you're there?
Their PP is currently top 10 as well, sitting at number 6, 24.6%.
Six. If you are sixth and fifth in special teams with the best 5-on-5 team, one of the best 5-on-5 teams in the league, and your goaltending is world class, sign me up.
And just for reference, in the two seasons where they were primarily coached under Jeff Ford, their power play sat at 18th in the league and the old penalty kill at 10th. So not the worst, but not where it needs to be at all, especially when they weren't a particularly good 5-on-5 team.
58-40 were the shot attempts against Buffalo. 24-14, 9-7, or 24-14 was the scoring chances. 9-7 high danger. Andrew Mangiapane had the highest game score. Matthew Tkachuk, Gaudreau, Tanev, Backlund. Fuck. Johnny gets the breakaway goal. Mangiapane gets that backhand where I don't know how Higgish hit his glove, but still went in. It was kind of lucky, but Chucky scores a sick power play goal.
Oh, yeah, that was sweet.
That was nasty. And then Mangiapane scores a sick 2-on-1 dish from Backlund. Wide open net.
That was sweet too. Holy shit.
And then that Johnny, fifth goal from Johnny, power play pass from Monahan cross crease. That was sick too, man. That was a sick game.
Yeah, and
some fun hockey, dude.
Those wins are fun. Why is Buffalo so empty? They, like, geez, man, there's a mausoleum, dude, in there. Holy shit.
That was brutal. That was worse than Florida.
That was so bad.
So my question to you, I think we're, what, 19 games in now? Played 19 games. Just as a fan, not even like, you know, we're doing a podcast and we analyze stuff. Just as a fan, emotionally speaking, where are you at?
I'm at the best place I've been in a long ass time, man. I didn't even think about Bratchy living on a day-to-day basis.
It's unbelievable, eh?
Yeah, like, honestly, I haven't even been checking the standings. Like you say, we're top of the division right now. I've just kind of been enjoying watching the Flames game again, you know, looking forward to games. And it's just been enjoyable to watch them play consistent, hardworking, hard hockey.
Where would you guess we rank in the league?
Oh, we got to be top 10. 10?
Fourth. Wow. Fourth, baby.
Well, guess what? They've only lost how many games in regulation? Four? Three?
We've played a couple more games than those below us, but even still, our winning percentage is 7.
Jeez Louise,
7.711.
Crazy.
So you posted this before the last two games of the road trip. The forward wins above replacement leaders. Combined sample of 2021 and 21-22.
Yeah, man.
You just think about the top players in the league. So your number one is Connor McDavid is 7.1 wins above replacement. So what the stat essentially is saying is that if Connor McDavid's on your team, you win seven games single-handedly pretty much because of Connor McDavid's on your team.
That's a lot of games.
That's a lot. He wins you seven extra games if he's on your team. Auston Matthews, number two at 6.7. Leon Draisaitl, 5.7. With just Leon and Connor, that's 14.
Well, that's how they win, right? Like, that's how they play. So
that's how they make the playoffs, just by those two. Alex Obrinkit, number four at 5. Barkov and Andrew Mangiapane tied for fifth, 4.6 games above replacement. Johnny Gaudreau also cracks the top 10. So Braden Point, Marchand, Pavelski, then Johnny Gaudreau. Speaking of Pavelski, I think it was Kent Wilson saying, if Dallas still struggles down the stretch, is he not the perfect guy?
He'd be almost absolutely perfect.
You need goals.
Almost get being the key. That was your retort, wasn't it?
Yeah. He'd be perfect to almost get. Hey, he'd be great to have on the power play, almost.
Dude, almost would be great for in Monahan's spot. No, like, I honestly, like, this team's going to keep it up. Brad Sheving has to do something. This is like, it's no excuse time anymore.
I still don't know if he knows how, dude. But like here's,
dude,
here's,
he's got to.
Here's the other thing, though. Now that the team is playing so well, a lot of his latest additions look really good. Like after last season, Tanev looked like a great addition. He did.
Well, Markstrom is looking real good.
You're kind of on the fence. But after 20 games of this season, you're like, holy shit, man, he was right on the ball for Tanev and Markstrom and totally worth the dollar amount we're paying him. I don't think he's overpaying those guys currently.
Oh, man, Tanev has earned – dude, Tanev has out-earned his contract by millions of dollars already.
You look at the other additions he made in the offseason, Branson and Pitlick. Sure, he could have done more to beef up the bottom six, but hey, if it's working currently. I don't know. What's our cap situation? What can he do? Does he still need to move somebody out if he needs to add? Like, what's a guy like Joe Pavelski make? Does he make $6 million?
He makes a lot. I think Joe Pavelski's in, the 7 range right now? He's on an expiring deal.
So you can't even, unless you swap him for a guy like Monahan somehow, but you can't even get Pavelski.
Or get Dallas to retain some salary. So yeah, Pavelski's making 7 right now is his AAV. So you'd need to make some room. But I mean, like, I think it is time because we have this discussion all the time. Okay, when do you add? Because like when you're good, you always hear the people, oh, chemistry.
Yeah.
Okay, well, when you're bad, they don't add. If you're good and you don't add and you're bad and you don't add, when do you add?
Okay. Well, I wanted to talk about this because this is something that gets brought up when you're good, like right now, right? Because even on this Pavelski thread, someone was saying, well, why would you want to bring in anybody right now? You don't need anybody. And the answer to that, and people are actually concerned that if you bring in somebody, it's going to disrupt the chemistry in the room.
Mm-hmm.
The chemistry in the room is Daryl Sutter. That's it.
There is no chemistry. It's called Daryl Sutter has a really good system and has them executing it well. It's not because these guys are all chumming it up that they're playing good hockey, because we've seen them chum it up for the past 5 years and do dick.
The only thing that's changed is the head coach and the system and the style and actually having preparation and goals and a guy that knows what he's doing. So if in theory you bring in good players, they're going to fit in just fine.
Well, come on. Chemistry in the room. You're telling me if they replace Pavelski with Monahan, you're not an instant far superior team? Can you break?
At this point, man, like, I'm going to give Sean 8 more games.
I don't know, man. Like, I want him to do good, and he's just, like, not good for the most part.
Like, there was that one play tonight where he's got the puck between his blue line and the red line. And all he has to do is just headman the puck up like 3 feet to Milan Lucic. And he's 3 feet away. And then you have a 2-on-1. And he can't even make a tape-to-tape pass. And he aces it. Like, that's Sean Monahan in a nutshell. Sure, he is contributing offensively on the power play, I guess. But, you know, he did generate that one play tonight where he had the puck near the blue line, and he kind of held on, got a good shot through. It's creating a scoring chance. But my rope with him is definitely getting shorter. Won't write him off completely yet, maybe 8 more games. But I do like the switch between flipping him with Backlund. I think Monahan could do better with a couple of guys like Gaudreau and Dubé and Pitlick.
Yeah, he can't keep up with Coleman, Mangiapane. And I mean, those are the kind of the lines most everybody was anticipating.
Yeah,
heading into the season. So,
and yeah, I think they've hit a new gear since they flipped those lines, because that was Buffalo.
And you're going to maximize again. Coleman needs to start scoring, but you're going to maximize what you're getting from. And that was the concern with putting Monahan there too. Is like, hey, what do you want from that line? You want to be one of the best 5-on-5 lines in the whole planet. That's what they will be if they continue to stick together. So I think that maximizes everybody's skill set.
Well, and a guy like Backlund, he usually takes what, 20 games to kind of get it going.
Yeah.
It's showing signs of getting it going now. So if Backlund can, you can get him up to speed again, then that line, that top six is going to be pretty fucking good.
And Backlund has a propensity to play better with better players, which I don't know if Monahan does.
Doesn't seem like it. So the schedule is kind of weird because you play 7 games in 11 nights on the road, and the league rewards you by giving you one day off to travel and play a game at home on Tuesday night. But then you get 3 days off.
But if you look at the December schedule, it is packed, dude. It's wild. They play so many games in December.
They don't travel.
Either they play like 15 games in December. It's nuts.
15 games. Looks like 8 of them at home. And then the rest are on the road, but they're all in the Pacific, except for Chicago, Nashville. So, I don't know. I mean, you always hear this thing in hockey and sports and life even. It's just like, you don't get too high, don't get too low. And it's funny, like this podcast, right? That's how the podcast is starting to look. Hey,
it's a lot different than you go listen to like the first 20 games after last season, or even the season before.
But my God, they look good, and if they can continue to build, and I think still Brad True Living, I don't want to hear any bullshit that we believe in this group. That's why he didn't do anything. If he comes out and even admits we didn't do anything because we couldn't, I'll be fine with that.
Yeah, but don't feed me the bullshit.
Don't feed me the bullshit that you didn't add when you were good because you believe in the group. Because if you believe in the group, then you fucking put all your chips in the middle, especially like, fuck, I don't know. I haven't looked at those Stanley Cup. What are they, the percentage of winning the Stanley Cup, those things?
The Flames are the highest, I think, on Money Puck, right?
Yeah. To make the playoffs, we got to be at what, top 5? Anyways, right now. Let's close it out with that. give us those stats. And look, yeah, we don't want to get too high, too low, because a lot of those stats are just based on how the team's currently playing.
Yeah.
But I just don't see. And sure, there's going to be dry spells. Like you said, you've called it. The biggest weakness this team will have is goal scoring consistent on a consistent basis. But you're starting to see a little bit of secondary scoring. And if they can continue to win the special teams each night, that will be key for maintaining this pace.
Well, and just one last thing on the chemistry thing. Like, anytime I've ever heard of a big acquisition and other players talking about it, like, I've never heard, like, oh, we're really bummed to get player X, you know? Like, man, really upset. Like, all the guys are always like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's always the opposite.
Like, I remember I was a big Dallas Stars fan when I was a kid, and like, I remember watching like video VHS tapes of when they acquired Joe Neuendijk that year. Oh, and like, all the guys were like, holy shit, now we're for real. You know, it's like, we got a guy like this. So I don't know. I've never bought the chemistry thing. So the Flames currently up on Money Puck. It must have changed a little bit from the other day, because they're currently sixth in the Stanley Cup odds behind Colorado at 1, Florida at 2, Washington 3, Tampa Bay 5 or 4, Carolina 5, Calgary 6.
That's some pretty damn good company.
Dude, like, honestly, the way we're playing, I would bet we'd beat the Oilers in a 7-game series.
Currently, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially since I would love to play them again now, because
yeah.
You only lost because of your special teams, but that was game one of the season, and their special teams has been so good. I'd be curious to see how they...
I can't wait for that game, that December game, Oilers and Flames. Can't fucking wait.
That game, December 27th. Yeah. So that's a ways away. Okay, that's going to be it for today. Close us out with a final thought there, Mike.
Hey, Jordan, I love Daryl Sutter. That's all. I'm going to name my son Daryl.
Is it almost time to do another unfinished business? Whatever you call it.
Montage. Sounds like it might be time.
Not yet.
Let's give it another
20 games.
Yeah, we're a quarter through. We're almost a quarter through the season. Let's get half and see where we're at.
Early on in the season, we were doing pretty good at the stretch. We said, well, we'll hold our horses. Let's see what happens in the first 10 games. Now you've played 20. 30 games in. That'll be the next one. Eh? See how we do in December.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.